Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Homeopathy World Community Blog Talk Radio, creating waves of awareness over the airwaves, via the internet, and by friends telling friends they care. Working in unity to promote homeopathy around the globe. Join us on Thursday as we explore Pet Health and Homeopathy, a show co-hosted by Homeopathy World Community founder and homeopath Debbie Bruck, and Doctor of Veterinary Medicine, author and homeopath Christina Chambreau. We invite you to comment and call in to contribute your questions. Let's go!
Hi, I'm Debbie Bruck, founder of Homeopathy World Community, speaking with co-host Christina Chambreau, doctor of veterinary medicine. Today is March 29th, 2012. This is the show in the series where you can visit the live chat, comment, and even call in to ask your questions. In the past, we've done shows based upon questions that people have sent via email and Facebook. Today, we are going to continue talking about our pets, their health, and the proper nutrition for them. How you feed your food, feed your animals good food. And I have been learning a lot and slowly changing the way I'm feeding my kitty cat. So maybe you will too. Please friend, favorite, and download the archives that are conveniently available for you to listen in your car, your iPod, iTunes, or computer. Visit the link on Blog Talk Radio on the show page. And also, there is a group on Homeopathy World Community where you can learn more about Dr. Christina Chambreau and many of the other shows that we have produced together. So welcome.
Great. Wonderful to be here. Ah,
you're going to be answering all of the reasons why I can't feed my pet raw food or go through all the trouble that it takes to do it. Well, I'm finding it's not so much trouble at all anymore.
Ah, well, now that's very good. So after our talking last week, it made it a lot easier for you.
Yes, it did. I just have to give up some of my own plate in order to, before I cook anything. I took a little fish yesterday that I had, some flounder, and I put it in the food processor with some salmon, not salmon, with some sardines, and mm-hmm. I mixed that up, and mm-hmm. I put it out. She ate it up.
Awesome.
And so it's possible.
Now, the next thing is, did you try putting down a whole piece of it?
I didn't do that yet.
Okay.
I mean, I could cut it up into little tiny pieces.
Well,
I think.
Now remember, do they have a knife in the wild and cut it up into tiny pieces?
They need one. No. Okay, so I could just give a whole thing of fish, huh?
I actually have a friend of mine in Florida rescues cats, and she often has, when I was visiting her last several years ago, she had about 10 cats, and she had a in Florida, you often have your door open and the cats are running in and out. She had a cat fenced in area, except for one cat who liked to escape. But the all the other cats stayed in the fence. And she feeds only once a day. And so I was there, and all of a sudden it seemed like all of the cats were around. And she, it must be feeding time. So we then, she got out a Tupperware container that had thawed from the night before. And because she's a vegan, she used gloves or a pair of tongs and lifted out an entire thigh or chicken leg for each cat. And the cats had scattered over the whole yard. So one was on a roof of a little shed, and they were just scattered. So she walked around, and they just stayed where they were, waiting for her. And these cats ate an entire chicken leg, skin, bone, muscle, ligament, cartilage.
They really are used to it. So I'm listening very carefully and wondering, they didn't vie for the food. They weren't...
They didn't.
No, how did that work? Because she gave them each their own piece?
She gave them each a whole chicken leg or a chicken thigh, but somehow they had trained themselves, or she had trained them, to sit in different places.
Mm-hmm. So they wouldn't be fighting and scrambling. And is this
right.
outside or inside?
This was outside.
Okay. Cause, you
now,
know,
when she does it inside, she may have to put them in certain rooms to feed them. I'm not sure. I should ask her, because I know she feeds them inside. Now, that's what she does maybe 3 days a week, or four. Or that's what she does for like 3 or 4 days, and then she'll do a meal of ground beef with pureed vegetables and supplements in it. And
okay.
The reason we want to feed as big a chunk as the cat will eat is that, or the dog will eat, is because that's where their teeth and jaw get exercised and their teeth get flossed and the tartar will stay off the teeth better.
Mm-hmm.
Not 100%, but better.
Okay. So
it easier rather than having to... Now, the vegetables, on the other hand, need to be pureed, because most of the vegetables, especially for cats, that dogs and cats get in the wild, have already been chewed up by their prey, partially digested and sitting in the intestinal tract. So that's why we puree the vegetables and give the protein in as big a chunk as possible.
It makes sense, but I would be concerned, you know, like you said, she has to maybe lock them into a room, because I'm thinking that if I'm giving this pet a big thing of food, that they're going to be dragging it all around and under my living room couch. And
well,
you know,
every animal is different, and amazingly, usually they don't. So another example is, I was visiting a friend of mine who had a young puppy, and she's from England, so she was more open to this suggestion. She was getting, this puppy was maybe 8 weeks old, Springer Spaniel, so he probably weighed 20 pounds. And she was putting a big rump roast into the oven. And I said, before you cook that, why don't you hack off a piece and give it to your puppy? He'd love it. Well, I was sort of thinking 2 inches by half an inch by maybe 4 inches. She cut off the whole end of the rump roast. So it was a piece that was about maybe 8 inches by 12 inches or 8 inches by 6 inches. It was a big piece of meat, but thin. And she brought it over to the puppy, who was sitting on a linoleum floor under a chair at the table. And we watched this puppy. He hardly moved. The meat, although it did touch the floor because she didn't put a plate down, if he had had a placemat under him, it wouldn't have gone off the placemat. He gnawed and chewed until the whole thing was gone. Feeding two dogs, a woman who from Switzerland who wanted to start was waiting till I was visiting her, and we went and got a whole chicken, and her 50-pound-ish dogs each got a quarter of a whole chicken, whack, whack, into 4 pieces, and they got a whole quarter. The first one pawed at it, nibbled at it, but still didn't drag it around for about 20 minutes before it was gone. The other one, he picked it up, and it never touched the ground again. He just stood there with his feet out, twisting it and keeping his head sort of twisting back and forth. Like almost the food went in like a mouse would go into a snake's mouth. It was amazing. And then there are animals who drag it all over the house. Even if you give them a teensy tiny piece, they want to take it somewhere and hide it or bury it or go somewhere. So every animal is different. And you don't have to feed big chunks every day. As long as you're feeding, work up to as big a chunk as you can and feed it as often as you can. You know, none of this is 100%. You can feed canned food to your cats and dogs 6 days a week and feed a raw meat diet one day. You can feed canned food on the days you're busy and raw meat when you're not. Or you can buy commercial raw food for the days you're busy and then do the big chunks on the days that you're not busy, and you can be around to watch them and see where they go.
A lot of it is giving them variety, too.
Yes, absolutely.
I'm interested to learn a little bit more about how to integrate the vegetables and or grains, because I have not done that. For instance, I had some rice left over. I didn't know whether that was going to be good to put out on the plate or what I do with that.
Mm-hmm. Well, first off, in the wild, our dogs and cats do not ever eat grains. The prey they're eating are never eating grains unless they happen to live on a rice farm or a corn farm. And even there, the grains are only ripe for like a month out of the year. So what they're eating in the wild are seeds and nuts, which is high protein and high fat and not high carbohydrate. There's as much difference of opinion once you get into feeding fresh food as there are people out there. So a number of people feel that feeding grains are fine and that dogs and cats do okay with it. Or they think it's okay to feed grains to dogs but not to cats. Dogs and cats' mouths don't chew side to side, so they can't chew their grains if you feed grains. And dogs' stomach of a pH of 1 doesn't digest the grains. They can sort of putrefy there because it sits for so long. So my suggestion is to not feed grains to dogs and cats unless your animals are healthy. And then I would tend to keep the grains more to the dogs. However, if a cat is really healthy and you have a little bit of leftover rice, then you could just mix it in with the pureed vegetables. Now, if you're feeding the vegetables, some cats adore vegetables. I know cats that love, lots of cats love melons, cantaloupe. Very few cats, but some do, love broccoli, cauliflower, even big chunks of it. My cat likes his mixed in with his food, thank you very much, with his meat. So my mixture has pureed vegetables, pureed liver, hunks of chicken bone and meat from the back, or legs, or wings, and organ meat, and ground beef heart and beef muscle. And so the vegetables just get mixed in with that. So it's a matter of experimenting. So you could puree some vegetables and just put them right down on the plate and see if he wants to eat them. And if he doesn't, then you puree the vegetables and mix it with, some liver, or mix it with a little bit of ground beef and see if he'll eat that.
Okay. We will give it a try. I'll let you know what happens on the next show.
Absolutely.
Well, I don't know if I'll find any liver.
It's so much fun to have you trying this. Now, liver, you do want to be organic. Everything else, if you can only get it at a grocery store, it's okay. But liver, because it is the detoxifier of the body, liver does need to be organic. Now, the other thing to do as well is a company called Wysong, W-Y-S-O-N-G, has a product called Call of the Wild. Now, they also have food called Taste of the Wild, but we're talking about the supplement Call of the Wild, and it is intended to balance a fresh meat diet. So it's a powder that can be added to any treats, any foods that they like into their regular meal. So that's one way to make sure, if you're not feeding bones, that you're getting the calcium they need, plus it's got some vegetables in it. Another supplement that could be used to help with the vegetable supplements, if you have a cat that just doesn't want to eat vegetables at all, is a standard process, which does have to be ordered through a healthcare professional usually, although you can sometimes find it at other places. Wysong has their tablets. Most cats seem to like the taste of their tablets. And because they're using organically raised whole foods, their vegetables are whole foods, they their products are really good, and they have a general whole body supplement for cats and dogs. Now, calcium would still need to be added if you weren't feeding bones. I don't think they've got enough calcium in it. But in terms of the other greens, that's good. And those are easily chewable. A lot of cats like them. And then the other is many other companies have various different supplements. So it's fun to sort of experiment with different supplements. It's always good to find, if you can, a local pet store that's doing holistic products, or one of your local health food stores that's doing animal products as well. So those are a couple of ways around the vegetable side of it. But okay. If, for instance, you discover that your cat loves the salmon and sardines pureed, then what you would do is every couple of days or every week you'd do some vegetables with the salmon.
That was my question. Yeah, I was wondering
instead of vegetables with liver. It doesn't have to be liver. It could be with ground meat. It could be with fish. It could be with whatever. Tuna fish. Tuna fish, people say, don't ever feed tuna fish to cats. That's wrong. Tuna fish is fine as long as it's not an exclusive diet. If cats are fed just tuna fish from a can, some cats, not all, but some cats can develop a nutritional deficiency that causes their skin to be really underneath their skin, it causes their fatty tissue to be really inflamed and painful. However, you could use tuna in every single meal you feed if that's a bribe food that your cat likes. So if I do a mixture my cat doesn't like, I can dribble tuna juice over it, you know, half a teaspoon of tuna juice over it, or even a teaspoon, or pieces or flakes of tuna. Bonito flakes, dried bonito flakes that you get. It's a fish, a white fish called bonito, and you can get it in Chinese or Asian markets. And it comes in flakes and is very inexpensive. Or you can buy the more expensive kitty caviar, which is the same thing, at your fancy pet boutiques or online. And those are some other bribe foods that help cats when they don't seem to like what they're getting fed.
I thought that the mercury in tuna was the concern.
There's mercury in all sorts of fish.
Okay.
It's not just in tuna. No, and tuna, it's not, the tuna has been implicated, people have blamed it for causing bladder problems, and that's the main reason they don't want you to feed it to your cat. Most people mm-hmm. don't talk so much about the mercury, but mercury is just one of many problems with fish, and the best choice of fish actually includes. Now, this is 2009, so this little booklet could be old. I need to get a new one. The Monterey Aquarium in California publishes this lovely little booklet of best choices of fish, good alternatives of fish, and avoid fish. And there's some tuna in all of the lists. And the other place that has a really nifty card on it is a good supplement company called... Oh, we don't like to do that, do we? I'm sorry. Stop me when I do that. I forget that we're not supposed to talk about names, right?
I think you already did on a couple.
I know. I just remembered. Oops. The thing is, it's like I almost... It's hard to not. It's like when I'm lecturing for the American Holistic Veterinary Medical Association, they say not to give name brands, but it's very difficult not to. So I'm not talking about a supplement now, but I'm talking about where to get a nice card that says mercury levels in fish.
And I think that's on the internet. I think I even have it posted somewhere on Homeopathy World Community.
Good.
So
excellent.
If I find that chart, I will add it to this particular show.
NRDC.org is where the data comes from.
Okay.
And so tuna is listed here as high.
That's why
and
I usually
medium,
eat.
But it's also under medium.
Oh, well.
So salmon, anchovies, calamari, catfish, cod, crab, domestic, crawfish, flounder, haddock, hake, mackerel are all good. Whitefish, whiting. So these lists are definitely good to have. But you don't want to base your fish choices just on this. You want to be looking at some of the other things as well.
Okay.
Because
yeah,
it's not
so
just
that's
mercury
why,
is the problem.
That's why
but it's still fine. It's still fine to feed some tuna fish.
Okay. I'm just checking the sound. I don't know whether you're able to hear me okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I can hear you.
One of the reasons why I eat sardines.
Mm-hmm.
Not only are they good, but I always found and thought that they were low in mercury and they were had bones, so they were high in calcium.
Yep, absolutely.
So the same goes for feeding your cat or your dog. Would your dog like sardines?
Absolutely. There are many who really do.
Okay. 'Cause
some
you know,
dogs love fish. Some dogs, actually, we talked in one of the other shows a little bit about this, that some people feel it's best to feed your dogs from where they came from, and maybe even cats as well. It's just, again, for me, it's more of an individual variation. So, yes, Portuguese water dogs maybe were fed a lot of fish, but that doesn't mean that every Portuguese water dog will thrive on fish.
Mm-hmm. So it depends on trying different things for your pet and seeing what they like, and then making a decision from there how to continue.
It's two things. One is trying and seeing what they like, and then two, continuing to feed the things they like and tracking the early warning signs in a journal so that you know, are they getting more healthy or less healthy without waiting for an illness to appear. So if, for instance, you start feeding a lot of fish to a dog or a cat, and you start noticing that the eyes get a little more crud in the corner in the morning, and the hair coat isn't quite as shiny as it was, then you want to experiment and either add a supplement or try to switch to a different combination of foods.
Okay, so the difference in my point of view and what I was saying was, just find the things that your pet likes to eat. And what you're giving us this really important clue is, not only is it what they like to eat, because, I mean, if you gave your kids candy all day and cookies
right.
and stuff, they would love to eat that all day, but that's not really good for them. So we're looking at not just giving them what they like, but also what is good for them.
Exactly.
Okay. And did we want to talk further about this particular, you know, going on with how to get your cats and dogs and pets to eat really good food? Or do you want to switch over to another topic that I happen to have? And that is the American Veterinary Medical Association has just passed this waiver for the annual rabies vaccination.
Well, it's interesting. Why don't we wait and do vaccines next time? Because it's
okay.
not as good. It's not really that big a deal. The waivers have always been there.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm going to be talking about it probably for a few minutes with Alan in the upcoming show at noon.
Yeah, since you're going to be talking about it today at noon, let's go ahead and spend a little time on it. And I'm thinking that, let's see, we did hypothyroidism. Let's talk about diabetes next week, because diabetes is very related to diet.
Okay.
And so we could do diabetes next week as well as more diet.
Sounds good.
And we may not finish diabetes, but we'll start on it. And I have a case right now of diabetes, so that's a good one to look at. Let's see. Let me just.
I love hearing cases. So, do you have a story about another pet and their diet?
Here's one just to remind people how much cats need their protein. I had a woman come to me who was a vegan. This is very early in my practice where I wasn't quite as assertive maybe as I am now, and. Her cat had been licking his belly raw. It's called feline endocrine alopecia for no particular reason. They named it that way because feline cat, alopecia, hair loss, endocrine, they had found just somebody tried it by experiment that if they gave Ovaban, which was a cat birth control pill, that it stopped the licking. Of course, then it caused diabetes as a secondary effect in a lot of them. So so it's not a good thing to do. But we don't know what it is. Cats just lick their belly raw, and we really don't know why. So this cat was 9 years old and had been licking his belly raw for 8 years, getting steroid shots every month, I mean, every year, every 6 months, every 4 months, and now every 6 weeks. So we started with homeopathy and switching to a fresh food diet, which she really liked the idea of a fresh food diet, but because she was vegan, she was using tofu and vegetables, and cats and dogs do not assimilate tofu because it's a grain, and they're not geared to assimilate that. And she was feeding only about 25% meat. And all five of her cats were put on the diet. And I was able to cure the cat within about 6 months. The cat's hair was all grown back. And in the next seven years, the hair never got licked off. He never got a raw belly again. And there were other improvements. And he would get briefly ill when the other cats got ill on two other occasions, once with an upper respiratory and once with a fever of unknown origin. But then after he recovered with no homeopathic treatment, he just recovered naturally or with maybe a little vitamin C. So that's a good sign that you've got a cure when you can have an acute disease and it clears up pretty much on its own. But all of these cats died around age 17. And I'm pretty sure that the reason they did is because they weren't getting enough protein.
Hmm.
Because they all had been fed 7 years worth of not enough protein.
Mm-hmm.
And it just sort of slowly caught up with them. And they died of different causes.
Mm-hmm.
So it's important with cats to feed the right amount of protein. Now, in terms of just diet changes in general, I recently had a person who had a cat, and it didn't have a whole lot of issues. She was calling me the kind of joyous call I love, which is, I want to keep my cat healthy as much as best as I can, so I'm calling you now to see what we can do the best to keep my cat healthy. And there were a few of the early warning signs. There was crud in the corner of the eyes. There was a little brown earwax. The cat vomited hairballs about every 2 to 3 weeks if she didn't keep on Petromalt, which isn't real good for cats. And so the only change we made was to change the diet from dry food to a raw meat and pureed vegetable diet. And within a month, all of those early warning signs had gone, but what she said is, my cat loves me. My cat follows me around. My cat is playful. My cat is energetic. The hair, you know, in addition to all of the hairballs stopping and the goop in the corner going away. So frequently you see an improvement in hair coat and a general increase in energy level when you change to a fresh food diet. I actually bartered with her, and when I ran into her the other day, she just came up to me and gave me this great big hug. I am so happy. So that's
I am here, yeah, but I am balancing a bunch of different things. I wanted to let you know because I know how much feedback means to you, and we have a few people in the chat
I couldn't get on today. I tried.
That's okay. So just to let you know that Dr. Bob has, my husband had called in or commented in and said that the commercial meat products are filled with hormones and antibiotics, and that isn't good for him. So he's learning.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, my preference is find a farm that's raising them sustainably without antibiotics and without hormones. but it's still better to buy fresh meat in the grocery store that's full of antibiotics and hormones and that where they've been raised in not a very healthy, happy way, because the foods, the meats that are in the processed food have been raised that way, and then the meat itself maybe hasn't been handled very well. So at least in the grocery store, you know you're getting meat. In mm-hmm. the food, in commercial dry and canned food, you're not sure what you're getting.
I always look at it. When you read the can and it just says, I don't know what it says, but it doesn't say whole meat or anything. It doesn't say chicken or fish.
It may say beef flavored. It may say beef dinner. It may say beef byproducts.
Yeah, the byproducts and all sorts
well,
of other
Well, but
stuff,
all of those... You know. It's like it, even if it says whole chicken, whole rice, whole broccoli, you still don't know what else got added beforehand.
Okay.
So, and when they change companies, that's one of the problems, is when companies change hands, they often don't change the label because they haven't, they find ways to get around how the label is.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
So they're using food. It may still say rice.
Mm-hmm.
But the rice is coming from China and was raised with pesticides.
Oh, great.
But they don't have to say, we're now buying rice from from China. There's something recently, and I was trying to find the name of the food, but there's a problem with a food or a treat, and
there's a problem with truth and labeling all around in human food and in pet food, that we don't really know what is being added to our food every day. So this is a problem.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to mention also more feedback, because on Twitter I am posting about the show to let folks know that they can come in from just about any corner of the world. And I asked on there, does your pet like fish? And Ani Sanji writes, yes. Sardines, yep, my dogs love fish. I feed them whole fish, bone, head, fins, etc.
Mm-hmm.
We have a gentleman, Rick John Ruzzamenti. His Twitter name is Ricky Buck. He says, does your dog like fish? He says, I give Hoss, my lab, fish oil. He likes it. So it's mm-hmm. okay to give fish oil.
Mm-hmm. Fish oil is a very good supplement. And again, you want to research the company to make sure you're getting it from, where's the fish oil coming from? Is it salmon mm-hmm. fish oil or is it tuna fish oil? Is it coming from high mercury fish? Is it coming from endangered fish? Where is it coming from?
Right. So how do we know? I mean, is it, you have to find a reputable...
Well, either I mentioned the brands online or...
Okay, well, go ahead and...
No, basically, because I'm not always right and I don't always know the answers. My best recommendation in terms of commercial foods and in terms of any supplement is to find a good pet store that carries a lot of holistic products, a holistic pet store, or a health food store that carries a good bit. And talk to the person who does their purchasing, because they know. These foods change all the time, and they are knowledgeable. They stay on top of it because that's what they're selling.
So what you're saying is to find a dealer that you trust, someone
yes.
who provides nutritional products and foods for your pet that you can always ask questions.
Yes.
And ask them if they know where the origin of the food is and what's on the label and what it means. So having a good conversation with and building up a relationship with the people and the organization where you get your products.
And then there are also excellent holistic dog, cat, and horse magazines, and animal in general, magazines that are now on the market. There was one for many, many years, was the only one, but we now have about five, I believe. And many of those, one in particular, does do regular reporting on comparing different commercial foods, comparing different commercial raw foods. And so that's another place to go. And then, of course, your holistic veterinarian is another place to go. But you have to ask your holistic veterinarian, you may want to just double check and say, now, is this really current information? Because
mm-hmm.
I may say something to somebody and not be thinking, and they go, now, is that really current? And I'll go, you know, I'm not sure. I haven't really stayed on top of that company. Good point.
Well, one of the questions in the chat here is about the brand IAMS, I-A-M-S.
Yes, IAMS.
IAMS, and whether that is a reputable brand.
Well, again, we don't want to do brands here. So
okay.
And because I don't stay on top of the commercial brands, there are ones that I really, really like and do stay on top of, but then there are a lot that I don't.
Mm-hmm.
And because they do change hands, they can change ingredients. So to answer the question about the IAMS would be check with your local holistic practitioner, holistic veterinarian, holistic pet store, health food store that carries, or a health food store that carries IAMS, and go to the IAMS website.
I was
email
gonna
them.
Mm-hmm.
Email them and say, where do each of your, who owns you, and where do your ingredients come from?
Right. So contact the brand, the company directly, and
yes.
ask them for answers, whatever questions you might have.
But then there's a problem because they may say, well, we use this comes from here, and this comes from here, and this is a mix that we get from this company. But then you'd have to go to that company to find where their mix comes from.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are mixes that a lot of even the freeze-dried raw foods or the frozen raw foods are using mixes, and the mixes may come from China, or the mixes may have, there was an excellent vitamin that a lot of us just loved, and then somebody pointed out it had propylene glycol in it.
Mm-hmm.
And then other places are using glycerin. And, you know, they have to use, see, this is the problem when you're feeding commercial food, is they've got to do stuff so that they can take either good ingredients or crappy ingredients and have the dogs like the taste and cook them, which takes out all the good, and then add a bunch of stuff back in to make it good again, and then have it sit in a can or sit in a bag forever and still be sort of good. You see why commercial food just doesn't make sense?
Because you really don't ever know what's in it.
That's right.
That's,
and you don't know where it's been. And you don't know how it's been shipped and how it's been stored and how old it is versus buying it fresh. I mean, you just
mm-hmm.
wouldn't do that to yourself.
Another good reason for me and listeners to switch over to making
right.
it in your own kitchen.
Yeah.
Well, that was a very convincing argument there. Where can we put that on your list of questions and answers that when people have, you know?
Well, it's, you know, that fits under, can I afford it? The question is, how can you not afford it?
Right. And, you know, maybe one of them is, how appealing is it to you to read all this junk?
Right.
You know, because, you know, it can almost make you sick to think of where the stuff is coming from and what it really is.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably a good reason why many people turn vegetarian or turn vegan or something else,
mm-hmm.
because they're so horrified with a lot of the ways that food is produced today.
Right.
So it goes the same thing for your pets. Let me just check in the chat whether there's anything else going on there.
Good.
Dr. Bob has written that China added melamine to cat food and killed hundreds of kitties.
Actually, thousands.
Oh, thousands of kitties.
Over 4,000 dogs and cats died.
That's pretty. Was this last year?
No, this was 5 years ago.
Uh-huh.
Since then, there have been a ton of recalls. There's many recalls that happen because now FDA is paying more attention, or USDA is paying more attention to this issue after the melamine. And a lot of the recalls probably didn't have to be. It wasn't like the food really was bad, but it was like maybe there would be a problem.
Mm-hmm.
So some of the recalls that have happened since are, you know, not as clear cut.
Mm-hmm.
But there still have been since then problems where foods have been recalled because of problem. You know, they were making dogs or cats sick.
Do you think that there's more watchdogs? I mean, people out there.
I think since the melamine, people are watching more carefully.
Yeah, so we're keeping an eye on it, and it is our responsibility to do that. I want to also thank those folks who are on Twitter, who have been retweeting, who have been answering comments. Nemo, I guess is a fish. Nemo on Twitter said whoever it is retweeted, does your dog like fish and sardines? And Perfectly Paula, it has been having a bit of a conversation. She says, I see, wow, you're really learning a lot on the show. So that's really, it means that people are listening. We appreciate that.
We love that. Well, let me take just a minute here to talk about the rabies vaccine waiver. The thing about the rabies vaccine waiver is that the AVMA, the American Veterinary Medical Association, has just sort of said, well, yes, we can write waivers if we feel that a veterinarian can write a waiver if he or she feels that the animal is not healthy enough to get the rabies vaccine, if it would adversely affect the health of the animal. Well, number one, ever since vaccines started to be made, or at least soon thereafter, there have been package inserts, at least for the last 40 years, because I've been in veterinary medicine for 49 years. I started when I was 11 as a veterinary working in a vet clinic. And so at least from that long, there's been an insert in the package of every vaccine that says for use in healthy animals only. So that means no animal should ever be vaccinated when they're sick, when they're getting other treatments, when they're getting other drugs, any of that. And so in a way, the AVMA saying this is like, okay, so what's new? Every state, for as long as I've been a veterinarian at least, which is 30 years, every state has in their department, in one of their departments, that you have the option as a veterinarian to request a waiver because the animal is not well enough. But it, depending on the state, depends on whether they're going to allow it or not. And just because AVMA says you can do this as a veterinarian, the state law has precedence over AVMA. The state law, in terms of frequency of rabies vaccine, for instance, has precedence over the federal law. The federal law has been once every 3 years for rabies vaccines after their first two for the last, 40, 50 years. And yet, until recently, there were many states or townships or counties or cities that required every year rabies vaccination. So the waivers really have to do with who's in power at that moment. I remember trying to get a rabies waiver 10 years ago, 20 years ago in one state. This was a colleague of mine who lived in that state. And they said they wrote in that this dog had had seizures after the last two vaccines that had been given, and she's now cured the dog of seizures. The dog is off of all drugs, but she doesn't want to vaccinate again because it's going to cause seizures. And the letter she got back said, "We don't care if it would kill the dog. You have to vaccinate." So it's a matter of the law, not that AVMA is saying it's a good idea. Now, I'm still applauding that AVMA is recognizing this as an issue. So that's a good thing. I'm just saying it's not, you know, super, super, super good.
Yeah, it's a good thing because they've made a public announcement, you know, that they recognize that there could be a problem and that they provide a waiver form.
Right.
So
but all I'm saying is that doesn't
right
mean you're going to get a waiver.
Oh. Well, that's so sad news.
Whether you get a waiver or not has nothing to do with AVMA.
Uh-huh.
It whether you get a waiver has okay to do with the state law or the city law or the county law or the township law.
Hmm.
The waiver is not determined. The waiver is determined by who governs the rabies vaccination laws, and that's who governs it. It's not AVMA.
Mm-hmm.
AVMA has no power at all.
Uh-oh. So what do you recommend then? I mean, what would be another step in the direction of protecting your
pet? I recommend
that
people put every penny they can possibly afford to funding the rabies vaccine challenge, because the rabies challenge fund is Dr. Schultz and Dr. Gene Dodds, and they have put together an experiment or a challenge or a test that matches all the drug guidelines and things like that, where they're keeping dogs alive for as long as we can afford to keep them alive. So if we get enough money, it may be 9 years, and then they'll challenge them with rabies. And if they don't get rabies, then we can say the rabies vaccine is good for 9 years instead of 3 years.
Okay, I think this is a really good topic to have a full show about, mm-hmm, to study and learn.
Well, I want to do two things before we move on. One is it's rabieschallengefund.org.
Okay.
And number two is for anybody on the East Coast, Dr. Schultz, who's from the University of Wisconsin, head of the Department of Immunology in the vet school, he will be speaking at the Healthy Dog Project in Cooperstown, New York, on, pretty sure it's May 12th. You can check my website, has the date.
Repeat that one more time, because I'm kind of making...
Dr. Schultz will be speaking in Cooperstown, New York.
Okay, Cooperstown, New York.
And I think it's May 12th, and it's listed on my website under events.
Okay, so your website is www.myhealthyanimals.com. Animals.com. Okay, so I have just... and the other website is called Rabies Challenge Fund or Funds?
Rabies Challenge Fund, singular.org.
Okay, so this mm-hmm has just gone out on Twitter, and maybe 14,000 people will look at it. That would be great.
That's right. And if 14,000 people look at it, then we'll get, everybody contributes a dollar, we'll get another $14,000.
Well, that's a good a wish and a hope, and I hope that we do get a lot of acknowledgement and responses from just this little show that we're putting together.
Absolutely.
Week. Yeah.
So okay, next week, do we want to do the vaccine next instead of the diabetes, or we want to do the diabetes and nutrition?
Yeah, I think the diabetes is a hot
okay
topic.
Great.
I think we'll do that, and then we'll do the diabetes and diet after that.
Oh,
and
I'm sorry. You want to do the vaccine next and then
yes
the diabetes after that?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that sounds good. And also, we do encourage folks, if they have any comments or questions, any personal questions about their pet, we would love to answer those questions on the air. What else can we tell the folks out there that we love having you visit and sharing these shows with your friends via Twitter, MySpace, Facebook, put a link on your email, tell people about it, embed the show or download the archives. Take a look at Homeopathy World Community and surf around and get some more news there. We've got a couple more shows. I don't know whether you listened in, Christina, but we had on Monday the very first live video show with Dr. Deepak Sharma about dreams of snakes. And I kept thinking about you, whether we could do maybe one show on dreams of dogs.
Right. You mentioned that. I'll have to, you know, we'll have to probably talk to animal intuitives for that.
That would be really cool. So that's a Monday show where we're starting up, and it will be on next Monday at 11 o'clock. We are having Monday night at 8 p.m. with Grant Bentley, facial analysis. On Wednesday morning, another fabulous show with Dr. Adil Chimthalawala Kasim on heart health. And you know what he's been doing? Last show, he started opening Kent Repertory and starting from the letter A, anxiety, and going through the different symptoms and remedies to discuss that regarding our symptoms in our chest, whether it is the heart, the lungs, or the breath, or I guess the ribcage, whatever it is that you have going on there. So I encourage encourage people to tune in. And up in about 8 minutes, we're going to have Alan Phillips talking about legislative action, and especially something's going on in Vermont that he has been active with. And he is also going to mention about the rabies vaccine in terms of legalities, in terms of your pets. And I know that you probably know all that, but the folks who are listening might want to hear some more about it. So we have 8 minutes left to the show. If there's anything you'd like to tell the folks out there about your upcoming workshops, I'm sure they would love to hear about it.
Well, just go to my website and check out the events. Portland, Oregon on May 6th is a one-day homeopathy workshop with continuing education credit for naturopathic physicians. The morning will be for people brand new to homeopathy. The afternoon will be for people already skilled in homeopathy as well as for people who came in the morning. And then June 2nd and 3rd, I'll be in Maine doing a homeopathy two-day class on homeopathy. And then in the third week in June in Bowie, Maryland, from the 16th to the 22nd, we'll be doing holistic for one day, then introduction to homeopathy for one day, and then a five-day intermediate class in homeopathy.
Great. So go to My Healthy Animals, myhealthyanimals.com,
and click on events.
And click on events and find learn a little bit more about that. So I think we're probably going to end today's show and
pick up in about 40, 45 minutes. So we're ready to go.
Okay, so we're going to end today's show, and I want to thank you again. Have fun this evening, Friday, and your weekend. Bye-bye.
Bye now.
Thank you for listening to Pet Health and Homeopathy on Homeopathy World Community Blog Talk Radio with homeopaths Debbie Brock and Dr. Christina Chambreau. We encourage you to follow our show, click the reminder button to receive email notices when show airs, share with friends on Facebook and Twitter, and send in your comments and questions. See you next time.